Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. You just heard an excerpt from the Ellington Strayhorn reimagining of the Nutcracker Suite, part of the Illinois Philharmonic Orchestra's Joy, a reimagined holiday concert. As the pandemic rolls on into the holiday season, performing arts organizations are having to find creative ways to bring their art to their audiences. While the holiday season is typically a time for mainstay live performances like symphony orchestras, A Christmas Carol, and The Nutcracker, this year arts organizations are adapting Christmas classics for digital audiences. Joining us now to talk about that are Stylian Kirov, music director of the Illinois Philharmonic Orchestra. Hello, Stylian. Welcome to the 21st.
Hi, great to be here. Thank you so much.
And we also have with us Julie Ratz. She's the artistic director of the Springfield Ballet Company. Hello, Julie. Long time no talk. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Brian, my old friend. It's so nice to be on your show. I'm honored.
I should add, I have a connection, as you can hear, with both guests today, although Stylian might not realize it. I've known Julie for more than a decade from when I've covered the Springfield Ballet as arts and entertainment editor at the State Journal Register. And some number of years before that, I was actually stage manager for the Illinois Philharmonic, although that was before Maestro Kirov's tenure. So, listeners, we want to invite you into the conversation. Our lines are open. 800-222-9455 is the number to call. That's 800-222-9455. Are there any holiday performances you're really missing in this pandemic year? Do you plan to try to take them in some other way? The number to call, 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455, or you can tweet us at 21st Show. Stylian, I'm going to start with you. The Illinois Philharmonic Orchestra has reimagined its 2020 December offering. It's called Joy, a reimagined holiday concert. Can you talk about the process of going this direction, how it came together under these very special circumstances that are 2020?
Of course, yes. And it has definitely been challenging, but we also saw this as an opportunity to, in a way, reinvent ourselves and have these type of concerts. So the way we came with the idea with the holiday concert is that basically we couldn't have the whole orchestra perform on stage for each concert because of the safety guidelines. And so our first concert in October was only strings. We have also recorded, and we will broadcast in January, a concert for woodwinds, mostly woodwinds. And this brass percussion holiday concert came to life with the idea that when you think of Christmas, we want to have something very celebratory, something very exciting. And with this in mind, we have this holiday program that includes two very, very beautiful arrangements by John Mindemann, and also a really fun take on the Nutcracker, Duke Ellington's Nutcracker. So it's a bit of a jazzy Nutcracker that I'm sure the audiences will enjoy.
Yeah, and I love that Duke Ellington, Billy Strayhorn, Nutcracker Suite. Can you talk about performing that? And I would imagine you've had your baton over the original Tchaikovsky at some point, or certainly you're familiar with the piece, and how it differs from a performance standpoint.
Well, for sure, of course, we are missing the audiences, but we are very happy to be able to perform together. I have conducted the complete Nutcracker Ballet many, many times. I want to say maybe over 10, 15 times. I know some musicians have played it for over 300 to 1,000 times.
Yeah. It is one of the most frequently performed pieces in the repertoire because of the Nutcracker, right? Every year.
Exactly.
All over the country.
Yeah. And you never get tired of it. But after performing the Duke Ellington, which has very beautifully incorporated the original score and very organically transformed it for a jazz band score, I think my image of the Nutcracker will never be the same after performing this. I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, my first experience of the Ellington Nutcracker was with a dance company that performed a ballet to it. And just to give you a taste of the sort of sly humor in musically, but also even in the titles, the dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy is now Sugar Rum Cherry, I think.
Cherry, yes,
if I have
exactly.
That right. Yeah, so, and then I also wanted to ask before I bring Julie into the conversation here. You mentioned it's a strictly brass and percussion performance, and I had wondered if that was for safety, if somehow brass instruments were safer than woodwinds, but you're saying you're just separating the orchestra into different concerts to keep, it's a numbers game, I guess.
Exactly. Yes, it's right. Well, there are a couple of reasons for that. First of all, there are certain regulations about the venue and how many musicians we can have in the hall at the same time. And then secondly, we are also, yes, the brass and the winds, they have to take extra percussions, which is complicated, but the musicians were wonderful in doing this. So they have to wear special masks where you can insert the instrument. And then when you don't play, actually your face is covered. And also in terms of breaks, we have to take break approximately every 50 minutes. So that the aerosol settle and the air settles in the hall. And yes, the holiday concert is brass and percussion mostly, but there is also one bass, there is a piano as well. So it's a mixed orchestra, but the reason for the separation is exactly the numbers.
Okay. And I'll have information about later in the program about where people can stream that if they want to see it. Julie Ratz, I want to bring you into the conversation now. Every year, the Springfield Ballet Company produces a performance of The Nutcracker, but with the pandemic this year, that isn't possible. You've been involved with The Nutcracker almost your entire life, right? Can you talk about that connection?
Yeah, well, we've been doing The Nutcracker here in Springfield for 45 years, and I started as a dancer in The Nutcracker when I was 8. So every year for 45 years, I've done a Nutcracker, and this will be the first year since I was 8 years old that I haven't done one in 45 years. So it's a little bit different, but we're doing some, I feel like we still have a little bit of Nutcracker. We are going to do, just like Maestro Kirov was speaking about the limitations on orchestras, we're going to be performing with strings from the Illinois Symphony Orchestra this weekend at a car dealership, because you're able to open the bay doors and have a big space to perform. And we got special permission to do this performance of some of the Nutcracker variations with live music. So it's kind of fun to have something different to do. We recorded the snow scene for a documentary that we produced this year. So we were able to let all the dancers in the company learn some Nutcracker choreography and have a role. And so, you know, we've just been trying to do what we can in these crazy times, but you know, I feel like I still have my taste of Nutcracker. So
yeah, a car dealership,
holidays are gonna be okay.
That has got to be a first, performing the Nutcracker at a car dealership.
That's right.
I'm writing this idea down. I really like it.
Can you, well, tell me about that. Tell me about, you mentioned the documentary. This is Through Clara's Eyes, it's called. Clara,
yes,
of course, is the young girl who gets the Nutcracker as a gift. Can you talk about how that came about and what viewers might expect if they want to check that out?
It came about as a board meeting in my backyard in the summer. And we thought, well, how are we going to do this? You know, like, who's going to want to see the Nutcracker of Springfield Ballet when you can watch American Ballet Theatre's Nutcracker for free, you know? So we needed to do something different. So we decided to do a documentary on our Nutcracker because, you know, everybody's Nutcracker is a little bit different. And our Nutcracker our Nutcracker documentary, excuse me, is called Through Clara's Eyes because it was too big of a task to just, you know, conquer all of our 45 years of Nutcracker. So we narrowed it down to Clara, and all of the Claras in our Nutcrackers have been local dancers. So we were able to go back and interview some of our former Claras and talk about how dancing this role has impacted their lives. You know, like what it meant to their personal development, what it meant to their artistic development, what being a part of our Nutcracker meant to them. So it's a little bit of a narrower focus on our Nutcracker as seen through the eyes of the dancers who danced the lead role.
And if I'm not mistaken, you are among the former Claras, right?
I am not.
Oh, you're
am
not.
Not?
Oh, forgive me.
No.
Okay, okay.
You know, and that's...
I knew you were involved. Sorry, that's probably...
No, it's funny you say that because the documentary filmmakers that we hired said that they learned not to ask people that question.
Yes.
Because not very many people get to dance this role. And so when you go in the community and you say, I was in the Nutcracker, you know, you don't want to ask them if they were Clara because it's a very specific role. You know, you have to be just at the right stage of your artistic and emotional and social development to dance this role. So there's a lot that goes into it, and it's only for very few people.
How has the pandemic affected the performers at the Springfield Ballet, right? So they get to do this car dealership performance, that some of them get to be in this documentary, in the snow scene you mentioned. But I've got to imagine this is a challenging year for young dancers, not being able to perform. Are they even able to rehearse at all? How does that work?
Yeah, well, most of our dancers are teenagers, you know, so they're facing all kinds of challenges in their lives with school and dancing. But we were able to start back in the studio in June when some of the mitigations changed. And so we've worn masks the entire time. We've followed all of the regulations. We haven't had any dancers get sick. So we've been very fortunate that way. But then just last 2 weeks ago, when Governor Pritzker changed, we started having classes on Zoom again. So we were able to have class every week and to rehearse on the weekends very safely. And we brought them in small groups. And so we were able to have a performance outside at a park through the Springfield Park District this summer. We were able to have an outdoor performance at a country club. We, you know, like I said, we have this car dealership performance, which is, you know, the best that we can do with what we've got. Even though we have a huge room that we rehearse in with great ventilation, the most important thing is, you know, being able to dance for the rest of our lives and not worry about doing it right now. So we're doing what we can. And it's been a challenge, but, you know, I think that dancers and musicians are very used to being a little bit uncomfortable, and it doesn't bother us maybe as much as some people.
Well, Stillian, similar question for you, and this is going to have to be our last question. We're running out of time here, but I mean, Julie mentioned that, you know, the dancers want to dance for the rest of their lives, and I know the musicians do too, but I imagine a lot of the musicians you work with, this is not a hobby. This is their career. How are you and they handling the pandemic?
Yes, it definitely hasn't been easy because, as Julie said, we want to perform. That's our life. And personally, in my case, when your hobby is your work, you don't have to work a day in your life, right? But relatively speaking. But with the pandemic, it has been difficult because we cannot perform very much for live audiences. However, I have noticed that many musicians were very proactive. You know, they continue to give to broadcasting performances. They record certain music in their home. We have been working very hard on our educational pieces. So we produce different videos with educational purposes involving the musicians, of course, teaching through Zoom as well. It's not ideal, but we just have to find ways to keep music alive and to bring music to our audiences. And these broadcasted performances are another way of doing it. So I feel we will be stronger after the pandemic, because the pandemic gave us a way to reinvent ourselves and hopefully have new ideas, as hard as it has been.
We'll have to drop the curtain on our conversation there. I want to thank Maestro Stillian Kirov, music director of the Illinois Philharmonic Orchestra, and Julie Ratz, artistic director of the Springfield Ballet Company, for being with us today. Thank you both. Happy holidays. Stay safe.
Thank you so much.
And we exit today with the Waltz of the Snowflakes. This is the Act One finale. Julie mentioned it earlier. It happens to be also my favorite moment from The Nutcracker. I want to remind listeners that they can catch the Springfield Ballet perform segments from The Nutcracker with the Illinois Symphony Orchestra live on Saturday, December 12th at 7 p.m. It's streaming free on the Illinois Symphony Orchestra's YouTube channel. Also, don't forget to buy tickets for the Springfield Ballet Company's documentary, Through Clara's Eyes. There are performances scheduled now through January 3rd. Tickets are $30. You can find more information at the company's website, springfieldballetco.org. And finally, there's the Illinois Philharmonic Orchestra performing Joy, a reimagined holiday concert featuring Duke Ellington's Nutcracker Suite. That performance will be available streaming from this Saturday, December 12th, through the end of the month. Tickets are $15 at ipomusic.org. We'll post all this on our Twitter at 21st Show as well. Support the arts this holiday season. They need you this year more than ever. The 21st is produced by Anna Casey and Ryan Wild. Our interns are Zainab Qureshi, Brielle Scullark, and Chantel Vaca. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick's our news director. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.